RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are introducing you to the Cricket, an awesome adventure base camp manufactured by Taxa Inc., a company that is not afraid to think outside of the box when it comes to lightweight travel trailers. We interviewed Mike Shepard, Taxa's East Coast manufacturer's rep, who will help us understand why the Cricket is in a class by itself.
And speaking of adventure base camps, we really want one for ourselves. So we thought this would be the perfect time to share our five reasons why we are seriously considering getting a second RV.
You might think that one RV in every driveway is the great American dream, but we wouldn't mind having a few options on deck when planning our next great getaway. You are listening to episode number 75, Meet the Crickets.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Meet the Crickets, we're going to do our news roundup, and it's a juicy news roundup this week, and then we're going to do a short segment on five reasons why we want a second RV, and some of our listeners are not taking us seriously right now.
I think they do take us seriously. I think
because this is for real.
I think they know we're just kooky enough to start collecting.
So before we talk about why we might get a second RV, let's do the news roundup. There's a lot going on in our world. We wanted to talk about last week's topic a little bit. We got a really great response over last week's episode about picking the perfect campground and then booking the perfect campsite. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what took us so long to get to that episode?
Do you really want me to answer that?
I did. Yeah. Stephanie's been saying forever that we should do that episode. And I keep saying, well, but we've kind of done this piece of it or that piece of it. She's like, we got to put it all together. And I'm so glad we did, because it was really based off of seminars we gave at an RV show. So it was pretty well thought out, I think. But what's nice now about having the forum, even more so than in the past, is that people kind of chatter a little bit about our topics. And we're getting even more feedback now about our future topics. So what were people saying on the forum and on social media?
Well, first of all, we got some really nice emails from some of the people that have been longtime listeners and just always stop to take a moment and drop us an email. And this week was no exception to that. And I would like to say that, you know, of course, JP, I know we've read letters from him before. You know, he wrote us and he said, I've been doing this for 30 something years and I still learned new things from your podcast. And I was like, oh, that means everything to us. We're not wasting anybody's time. That's nice. And then also we just got a comment from Dean, who's at the other end of the spectrum, another really encouraging listener to us. He hasn't been RVing
at all.
At all.
He purchased the RV, but they haven't gone out yet.
And he said, I listen while I get ready for work. And I was like late getting ready for work because I was stopping to write down so many notes and everything. And that was just sort of the spectrum of that kind of an email. And that was nice. Now, on the flip side of that, we heard a lot of feedback about our booking online.
We say call to make reservations.
Right.
Don't book online. That got a response from people. It wasn't like a negative response, really. It was just like people had some thoughts about that.
Right. So, of course, for our listeners, and there are many of you out there who use online reservations, mostly Reserve America, for our public campgrounds in America. For those listeners, many of you said, well, I have to reserve online. I don't have a choice. You have to go on Reserve America, and you have to do it fast to snap up those spots. Absolutely, we know that. We know under certain circumstances, you do go online. In fact, we do that.
we would never say, no, you have to call, even if it means losing the reservation, right?
I mean,
if it's a necessity of that campground, yes, then you have to book online. But you still had a good point you wanted to make.
Right, because of course we know that that's the case. We've used Reserve America. We don't like it, but we've used it. And in fact, we have a set in our alerts coming up within like the next week.
Right,
an alert
NPS campground.
For an NPS campground that we're staying at this coming up summer, we set an alert in our phone for the day that it opens up. So we understand that very well. But guess what? We've already been on the phone with Reserve America about that particular NPS site. The reason is that everybody knows that the booking window opens, like, say, 6 months in advance.
Or nine months
in advance, 12 months in advance for certain public campgrounds. It varies based on the campground, and you need to look into that. But most people assume that that occurs at midnight, right? You would think...
Well, some of the real insidery type people out there know, but you know what?
You know what?
Not everybody knows the exact hour it opens up.
Well, and that is why we gripe so much about this system. For all of those public campground fans out there that have used Reserve America a lot and say, oh, it's no big deal, it's fine, I never have a problem. You know what? Anytime people don't know when they can start booking and when that's not transparent, you know what? That's not a good system. They need to make changes in that system. And I feel strongly about that. And I'm not gonna, you know, feel bad about saying that. I really feel that if they wanna push American camping at public campgrounds, then they need to freshen up that Reserve America process.
And I think we will see a freshening up at some point soon.
So anyway, we actually reached out ahead of time to the NPS site, to Reserve America about the NPS site that we'll be booking, because we knew that they open up at a certain time and it's not midnight. It can be random times.
It was 9 o'clock. I think it's often 9 o'clock.
For this one, it was 9 o'clock. And now that we talked to someone.
We know that.
We know that.
Now, you also brought up the fact too, that when we booked Camden Hills State Park, I did call and speak with the ranger. So I could have booked on Reserve America, but I actually did call. So in some cases, you can call the campground, speak to a ranger, get information on what are the best sites or where do you want your site. And in some cases, you can actually book with the ranger, even though it's also bookable online with Reserve America.
Right. You spoke with the ranger extensively about the fact that there were two types of sites at Camden Hills State Park. There was the field sites and the wooded sites, and they're very different. And the ranger walked you through what he felt would be a good one for our family. And it was one of our favorite sites ever. And we never would have.
Absolutely not. I never would have picked that site without the ranger saying, you know what, you have little kids, I think you'll like this site with the huge field. You know, I just would not have. I would have picked the shady site.
Absolutely.
So call whenever you can call. And even though sometimes you are going to have to book on Reserve America at a certain time, a phone call still might get you some good information.
Okay. And I want to add one more point, because this is important for people. Some people also said, well, they tell me that I can't book a particular site. We understand that happens,
and you don't mean necessarily, you don't mean state or federal campgrounds.
No.
You mean private
campgrounds.
Even
a lot of private campgrounds.
They'll often say, no, we'll take your reservation and not give you a certain site.
They'll pull that nonsense. Well, we also say that we still think that you need to make your wishes known in a very encouraging kind of way.
They may not give you a specific site number, but if you say, please, I'd like to be by the playground, they will probably get you there.
Right.
Or I want to be away from the playground, they will probably get you there. So still, that does not give a reason not to call.
Yeah. And we do think that a lot of those campgrounds say, well, we can't guarantee. If you sit there and you say, I love this site, I want to be at this site, if I'm at your campground and I'm probably not going to be super duper happy if I'm not at that site, guess what? I bet there's going to be a note on your file putting you on that site.
I mean, they do that because they don't want, like, say, a group of six people calls at some point and you're smack in the middle of this group or something. So it's not in every circumstance that they're not going to be able to give you the site that you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Do we sound like a bunch of pushy New Jersey folks?
You know what? This is your vacation. And the bottom line is that hotels do not have to guarantee you a room number. Why? Because they're all the same.
Right.
A double bed is a double bed is a double bed. Okay. And if you ask to be on the top floor, you'll get it. If you ask to be on the bottom floor, you'll get it. Don't put me by the elevators. campsites are not like that. Right. It's not a king size bed.
All
everywhere.
Within one row, the sites can be quite different.
Yeah.
All right. We have a new article up on the Progressive blog, which is located at.
So it's lifelanes.progressive.com.
Which is really a terrific general interest blog. Mm-hmm. And they have sections for work, sections for play, and sections for home. So there's all kinds of good content there. We happen to think we're, you know,
because we're in play.
Top potato.
Yeah. So if you go into the play section, we have an article. Like I said in our newsletter this week, it was like all about the campground for this past week, right? We really did a lot of content because this is high trip planning season.
Or it should be.
Yeah. It should be, folks. If you're not trip planning, what are you doing? So on there, we had the public versus private campground article. This is not one is better than the other.
Pros and cons for each.
Right. This is if you're, you know, this is things you're going to find in one, things you're going to find in the other.
This is, I honestly think this is my favorite post we've done for Progressive. I'm not quite sure why I'm saying that. It just felt very useful.
Okay.
And it felt like there's a lot of good information there for people who are trying to decide, oh, do I want to go to a KOA, a Jellystone, a Good Sam, or do I want to do a state park?
Right.
I also want to remind everybody, if you go to the Progressive blog, which you should, and you read one of our articles and you click on RV Family Travel Atlas, something magical happens.
You see all of our posts.
All of our posts for Progressive pop up. So
it's
if
like
you
our
want,
page.
It's like our own little page within their blog. And I really love that feature.
You know, they made us a page.
We have our own page there. It's like our own little room in the, you know, in their blog.
They're like, okay, you can have a room, guys. And it can look like a camping
room.
Yeah,
so if you need to catch up on a few of our articles at a time, it's nice that they're all there. Because let's face it, most blogs like that we write for, your work tends to disappear.
It gets buried. Gets That's just the nature of a blog.
But here they collect it for each blogger. So we really appreciate that. Okay, so what else is new in
the news also roundup? In the campground article theme, we had two go up on our own blog over the past week, right? So first, I wrote about a case for the campground. And I wrote this last week, but it wasn't in our news roundup last week. And it was all about why I feel like the campground has something special about it that oftentimes isn't mentioned when people are thinking about campground versus boondocking.
Right.
Right. So oftentimes when you're comparing the two, boondocking sort of gets elevated for its
authenticity,
more natural experience.
Its
right.
Beauty.
Right. And you might choose the campground just because, well, you're not brave enough to go without hookups
and you're just going to be in a row of RVs stacked on top of each other and you could be boondocking.
Right. So, the article, the blog post was really about something that I have felt strongly over the past 6 years more and more, even as I've witnessed changes in our own self from visiting campgrounds and from being more immersed in campground culture, where I've seen the fact that something happens at a campground in terms of casual sociability. Right.
Absolutely. It's been one of our favorite parts of RVing is meeting other people at a campground. And we don't necessarily want to pull into an empty campground with no one around.
Yeah.
You know, we want to meet other people. And, the boys do even more than we do.
The boys do. Right. And that was something that we addressed on our Keep Your Daydream interview that was on that podcast a couple weeks ago when we were asked about boondocking. He said, well, like, our boys treasure the pickup games, the new kids they meet at the campground. It is so nice. You know, suburbia doesn't look like that anymore. What we grew up in, just running out of the house and playing with all the neighbors in some lot
in
at
a
the
safe
end
environment.
Of the street. It really, for most of us, doesn't look like that anymore. And honestly, the campground does. And anybody that's been to our rallies has seen this in action. I am telling you, it is a gang of children, right, at our
rallies. It is a small town environment.
It looks like, you know, Pigpen in Charlie Brown,
right.
In Peanuts.
Oh,
you know
the
how
dust kicking
has,
up
like,
and everything,
that, like,
right.
Dust ball. Like, I kind of feel like, and it goes around with him everywhere he goes. Like, it just kind of looks like that at our rally. Like, this herd of kids and, like, dust just kicking
and
up
and
around
look,
them.
And look, in that post you said, look, boondocking is, it can be more beautiful. It can be more amazing. It can be more romantic. We want to do it more one day. It's not right for this moment in our lives for where our kids are at. And you weren't really trying to say that the campground is better necessarily.
No,
but you were saying that sometimes the boondocking crowd acts like the campground is worth less.
Yeah.
And we don't think it is.
I would say even not just like the boondocking crowd. I would say that in general, when the two are compared, boondocking is seen just automatically, without even thinking about it, people present boondocking as a pure experience. And I was saying, in a way, the campground experience is incredibly pure.
In this kind of old-fashioned way.
Well, the fact that you have to say, hello, how are you, maybe, to somebody that you don't know. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Like,
right.
We just don't.
It's become one of my favorite parts of the experience.
Yeah.
Now, you also put together a kind of a list or a blog post with all of our tips and resources for finding the perfect campground and the ideal campsite. So it was like a spin-off of last week's podcast, but you decided to do a print version of it as well for the blog.
I did. I felt that we just packed in so many of our resources and our suggestions in there. And I was like, you know what? Let me do a whole blog post on this so that people like Dean aren't sitting there trying to write it down.
We said last week we were going to give away 5 copies of the Good Sam RV Travel and Savings Guide. And guess what? We weren't lying.
No.
We're going to give away 5
Have
copies.
Have we ever lied about a giveaway?
So we haven't. I think we've come through on all of them.
Yeah.
So we've chosen all of our winners, okay, for 5 copies. And we were going to give away these copies in different places. So for writing us a Campground of the Week review, Gary and the Logans is going to get a copy of the Good Sam RV Travel and Savings Guide. For tagging a friend on Instagram, So Hoopla is going to get Good Sam. And we chose all these people randomly.
Oh, and it is truly random.
It was as random can be.
It is. It's random. We promise.
Okay. And then 3 people on our forum are going to win copies. So The Real Neil from Oregon is going to get a copy sent to him. Scott from Colorado, who's a brand new RV owner, so good timing on for Scott.
Yeah.
And congratulations, Scott. That's right. He just bought a Jayco Whitehawk. And Gigum from Texas. Okay.
Giggum.
So we'll reach out to all of you and get addresses, and we'll have you sent those free copies of the Good Sam RV Travel and Savings Guide. And we have 2 articles in there. So
yeah, you better read them. There's going to be a test.
You better read them. We also wanted to remind everybody of the RVFTA coloring contest. Boy, oh boy, did it get off to a gangbuster start. And if you on Instagram look up hashtag RVFTA coloring, there's dozens and dozens of people's entries for that. We did say it's going to go till March, though.
Mm-hmm. Because it was a winter activity. The winter is still here. Unfortunately, we are deeply mired in it here in the Northeast. But what I want to say is I will link to the post with all of the rules for the coloring contest in the show notes, okay? So I will put a link there. You can see all the rules. It's on the blog, and you can know where to get the coloring books, et cetera, et cetera.
And what do you win?
Oh, I was like, I don't know. I don't remember. A signed copy of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
Going to be a good book.
I heard great things.
Full color pictures. Lots of color pictures. Some of my pictures.
Signed.
Okay. Now, we wanted to do something new on the news roundup, and we might not do it every week, but we might do it every week. We wanted to give a forum thread of the week. We wanted to talk about a thread that was started on our forum that seemed to be of particular interest or seemed to generate some really useful ideas and content. So you chose the forum thread of the week this week. What was that thread, and what were some of the things that people talked about?
Because I'm so thematic, and this past week was all about the campground, I was thinking about a thread on our forum that was started by Casey Summer, who asked people how they kept track of their future camping locations wish list. She was like, okay, what's your strategy for that, you know? And we got a ton of replies on that thread. So if you go over to rvfamilytravelatlas.com and you click on the forums, you're going to see the trip planning forum. And that's the one that Casey Summer posted this into, the trip planning form. She said, how do you keep track of your wish list? So a couple of people, Gretchen said she uses Pinterest, and Carrie added that she uses Pinterest also, and she likes that because she uses the feature where you can put your map on your board and add pins to it. And I have done that, Carrie, I remember our Myrtle Beach board I built before we went there, and I put pins in different things that we were going to do. So I have used that. Heather uses Evernote, and Scott uses iOS Notes app. And he says that the new version allows for linking and embedding images and maps.
I didn't know
now,
that.
Now, I'm one of those very unorganized people that loves my Notes app on my phone. I use
so
it
do I.
for everything.
I use it at work and home.
Right. Like, don't give me an app for this and an app for that and an app for the other. I just want one, right? Like, Notes, and I use it for everything. So, but mine, I guess I haven't updated it. I have to find this linking and embedding and checklist that he talks about. So Now, so all those were very useful tips. And if you are of the sort of low level commitment, you might use one of those tips. Or if you are serious, you might do
about
what
keeping
Jeff
your future
does.
Trips organized.
Jeff uses Google Maps. He created a map of his own, which you can do in Google Maps very easily. You just create My Map, right? And you can name it whatever you want. And he created a map with pins. He keeps additional notes about the campground, like whatever pin, on the side of the map. Then he linked to his map in our forum. So you can go onto our forum and you can click on his little link and you can
see the rest of Jeff's life unfolding before him.
Oh my gosh. And you can see all of his notes. Now, he also linked to his spreadsheet.
Wow.
That he keeps.
That's dedication to the future.
As a Google Doc, okay? So, and his spreadsheet, a lot of people loved. So people were like, thanks for the spreadsheet, Jeff.
So like they want to do it.
Oh, and he said, hey, make a copy of it and use it yourself, you know? And some people were like, okay, well, I had my version of a spreadsheet, but I ditched that, and now I'm using Jeff's, right? And so anyway, Casey Summer came back at the end, and she said, thank you so much for all the suggestions. She was thinking about Pinterest originally, but she loved the functionality of Google Maps. She loved how she could add links to any reviews that she found online.
That's
right?
Really nice.
And that she could also make a list of all the activities in the area that she wanted to do. So she really bought into the Google Maps. Thank you, Jeff, for helping her out. And for the people who suggested other things, believe you me, I'm in your camp because I'm not starting a Google Map. I'm like random notes lady.
You could while away a lot of cold winter nights doing this.
I am organized with weird things.
I can't tell you where my shoes are in the morning, but when it comes to like what campgrounds I want to go to and what places, like my brain's like a filing cabinet. Like it's all, I don't do any of this stuff because it's all in my brain.
Right?
Like if you say, you know, where do you want to stay the next time you go to the Upper Peninsula, I'll tell you what campground I want to go to.
Can I say when we were first asked to write our book, and we had to do our pitch for what our spots would be. What did we do? And we both worked the same way. We didn't use a computer. Remember what we did?
I don't remember.
We got our map out of the garage. Remember our wall map?
Yeah.
We had a big wall map of the United States.
Right.
We got in the garage that we had pins in.
And we used literal pins.
We put it on the floor of our living room.
And started pinning
and
places.
And we started pinning because we wanted a wide variety throughout the United States. We are... No matter how techie we get, we wanted
a huge visual of the thing.
Yeah, we needed that. Yeah. And we did not open up a Google Maps and start pinning things. We spread out an actual map on our floor and used actual push pins and put pins
Sometimes
all over that
Sometimes I just want something
map.
Bigger than a computer screen. All right, is that it for that?
That is it. We are done with our forum thread of the
two
week.
Two segments coming up. We're going to come back in a second and give you five reasons why we are seriously considering buying a second RV. I know it sounds crazy, but we'll come back and explain it. And then we'll come back at the end with our featured topic, Meet the Crickets. It's a great interview that Stephanie did with Mike Shepard, who works for Taxa, and it's going to explain everything you need to know about this really cool new camper adventure base camp vehicle.
That's what they call it.
Called the
adventure
Cricket.
Base
so the
camp.
Company's Taxa. They make an RV called the Cricket. And sometimes they call it the anti-RV,
oh,
right?
Yeah, they don't want you to call it
They
an
make
RV.
The Cricket, the Tiger Moth, and then there's a third one coming out.
The Firefly,
right? Mostly the interviews about the Cricket. It's a great interview. We'll be back in a second with both of those segments.
Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for us to talk about five reasons why we are considering buying a second RV. And this kind of is tied into the interview with Mike Shepard from Taxa. okay, the guy who's the sales rep for like 42 states for the cricket. There's a link, there's a cosmic link between these two little segments. So we'll explain that link a little bit more later. Let's talk about why we want to buy a second RV. Are you ready? I think you're scared.
I'm not scared of this, please.
Don't act like I'm just dragging you along on this.
You drag me all the time along on these cockamamie ideas. But oftentimes your cockamamie ideas have an element of brilliance to them. And that just kind of like...
Oh my God, stop the show. We're done. There is no more. We are done podcasting. We're going to end on that note.
Because I said brilliant.
Guys, it's been fun. I'm glad you enjoyed this first 75 episodes. I'm really sorry for all the sponsors we've brought on for the next year. It's over.
You don't want to do anything else now that you've been called
brilliant. Let's back up and tell the story here. What got our wheels spinning on this in a major way was we got a very interesting Facebook message from an old friend recently. So we have an old friend who happened to be Stephanie's next door neighbor growing up, and we love and adore them. He is going to need to move out of his house for about 3 months while they put his house on stilts because he's in sort of a flood zone type area at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with this area, we had a Superstorm Sandy years ago, and all of the laws were rewritten for shoreline properties, and people could honestly actually pay, like, I mean, in terms of $30,000 to $40,000 a year in insurance. Like, the insurance premiums were so high. Or you can put your house on stilts.
So our friend messaged me and said, look, I want to stay on the property and rent an RV for this 3 months. Or like buy a used RV. And he knows nothing about RVing. Like, if there's anyone that just doesn't know anything about RVing, he just doesn't know anything. So he reached out to me, you know, co-author of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. That's a good guy to know, I guess, if you want to buy an RV. So, of course, I was immediately fascinated by this whole thing and wanting to help. And then, of course, I started thinking, well, we could rent him our RV, right?
Of course you did.
Because it's, you know, it'd be a decent chunk of change. We would charge him a fair price, but it would end up being a decent chunk of change. And my thought was, if we rented him our RV, we could use that money to buy a second RV, which we then could use as a rental.
Well, the problem is... we travel.
Oh, there's a lot of problems.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of problems. But I'm saying the number one problem with renting him RV is that we travel too much.
We use it.
There is no 3 month segment of time where we don't have a trip lined up.
April, May, and June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That covers our spring break.
Yeah.
That covers the beginning of our big summer trip. So that's a complication, to say the least.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure our way around this. Now, if we bought a rental, my thought would be that we could just travel in that rental for a while.
Right.
Now, the issue here is...
we're always doing ridiculous things.
The rental, if we buy a rental, is not going to be a 33-foot travel trailer. We would buy something significantly smaller, which would be more appealing to people who would want to rent it, who only have a minivan or an SUV.
Right.
So then the question is, if we buy this small rental... could we actually use it for a few months and get by?
Right. So that's a tricky business. And we have actually been thinking about a rental before this initial interaction. This sort of like put the acceleration on it a little bit because it would finance that purchase a little bit.
It would give a substantial down payment towards it. And maybe we could even pay cash for the rest. But either way, it would be a nice chunk of change to put towards this rental.
Right. Which is often what happens with us is like we have an idea and we're like, that's a great idea. Let's do that in 2 or 3 years. And then
you say let's do it in 2 or 3 years. I'm like, let's do it in 2 or 3 weeks.
And then I feel like you orchestrate events so that I get to this point where I'm like, this would be stupid not to do it right now.
Well, in a way, it's kind of crazy. We could get this nice chunk of change to rent out our RV.
Right.
We could buy the rental. We would just have to use it for our spring break and our summer trip, which that's where it gets complicated.
Now, that is my sticking point right now, is I want to buy the best rental.
Not just something that's good for us to use for a few weeks.
Right. Yeah. I do not want to make any decisions about the rental based on what we would be comfortable
in. And I do. I want to buy this rental that's something we could be comfortable in as well, which means it would probably be like too big. So we're honestly, this is happening right now at RVFTA headquarters. People.
Oh, this, like, is what's going on. Insider scoop. So look, this is
that's our first reason why we want a second RV. we want a rental. And we know so many people that ask us about rentals, like friends, family. We just think we could rent this thing up and down our block.
Oh, my
gosh. There are people on our block who are like, we really want to try RVing. Do you know anybody who rents them? And I keep thinking, well, yeah, it could be me.
I get constant,
We literally think that we could make money on the rental because everyone associates us with RVing and they, you know, they call us when they have questions about it.
But it has to be easily accessible and comfortable rental. Because no one wants to really rough it. Everybody wants to pretend to rough it. So we really are trying to locate that sweet spot.
And at the same time, somebody renting who's never used an RV before does not want something really big and heavy and frightening to tow. They want something smaller. So God knows what's going to happen on this front. But we'll keep you posted.
I guess we'll keep them posted. I guess now we've introduced this as a storyline.
And if you want to rent it, you know, let us know. But there are four other reasons. And these are very legitimate reasons to me as to why we would want a second RV. We're committed to this lifestyle. We love it. This is just how we travel. We don't do hotel rooms. We don't do cruises. When we travel, we just want to be in an RV. A second reason, I would like to take one or two romantic getaway weekends with you every year. And I'm committed to it. I know we would do it. And I think that I just don't want to do that in our 33-foot bunkhouse travel trailer. I'd like to do it in some kind of small, cozy, hip little teardrop or something like that.
Now, why? Well, because that would help it to feel like it was our getaway. So, for example, think about traveling to whatever destination that might be, 2 hours away from your home with your kids. What kind of accommodations are you going to get there? Are you going to get a rental house? Are you going to get like a hotel suite? What are you going to do? Well, now imagine traveling to that same place with just your significant other, your partner, your loved one, your husband, your bride, whatever. Like, it's gonna be a different kind of place, right? Imagine the inn you're gonna stay at. Imagine
you want that cozy bed and breakfast or something. Yeah. We want the equivalent of that in the RV,
a
teardrop, a cricket,
something that just definitely makes you feel like you've gotten away from it all. And let me tell you something: our bunkhouse ain't making me feel like I'm
getting
away from it.
Something that we could maybe get into some more remote places.
Yeah.
All right. So romantic weekends, and I'm telling you, if we get the second RV, we will do two a year. We also, and our third reason, we're also interested in doing some solo trips. Like, you would love to do some of these girl camper trips, and frankly, I would like you to do them.
Yeah, and I am. I have committed to going.
You just told me that live on air.
I knew you were close, but you didn't
officially tell me.
I kind of did. You just didn't want
to. You kind of just told me now on the podcast. Well, good for you.
I'm going on the girl camping trip to wild, wonderful, almost heaven, West by God, Virginia.
I can't believe you got that right.
Look, I hang out with Janine, the
girl
content
camper.
Queen.
She's dangerous. So, Janine, the content machine.
The girl camper content machine.
I coined her that this week.
So I hang out with her a lot. I know the nickname for West Virginia. I am going to go. I am absolutely going to go. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not going to bring our trailer.
No, it would be ridiculous.
How silly would that be?
It would be stressful.
But if we had something small
that
I could tow with our flex.
A cricket. A whinny drop, something you could tow with the flex, but you could even it's not about the flex versus the pickup. You could take the pickup. It's just towing something that you'd be comfortable towing alone.
Yeah.
That Janine Pettit's a dangerous woman. You spend time with Janine Pettit, you're going to end up camping. You're going to end up at the campground.
I'm going and I'm going to have a blast and we're going to do
a podcast. Good for you. You'll get content out of it. You'll have a great trip. I'm jealous, frankly, but I'm not too jealous because if we have a second RV, I would go on some boys' trips. I might say, hey, to a couple of my friends, let's go to Gettysburg. Let's check out the battlefield. Or I might just take out Max and Theo and Wes, or maybe just Max and Theo. Frankly, there are times I've wanted to take Max and Theo on a little, one-night trip with Dad, and I'm not that motivated to take out our 33-foot travel trailer without Stephanie because I do rely on her for backing into tight spots. And just in general, the whole safety aspect of towing a large rig. It is a team
effort.
With that
trailer, in terms of even scoping out the gas station that you're pulling into, right? It is all eyes on deck. When we are towing, I'm not napping in the passenger seat. We are both navigating. We're both
even just hitching up.
Right.
I have hitched up without you a bunch of times. Like when we used to store the RV. Mm-hmm. it takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
So I'm just not that motivated to be like, let me hitch up the 33-foot bunkhouse trailer to go out with Max and T.
Yeah.
Where if we had some small little camper, I would be much more inclined to say, hey, guys, let's head over to Turkey Swamp just for one night with Dad. Let's go hang out, mm-hmm. you know? So I think we would use it for girls' trips and for guys' trips. I'm pretty convinced.
Okay.
Okay? We would also use it to get into some national parks and state parks that we cannot get into with our current 33-foot travel trailer.
And we've talked about this before, how we actually not only don't want to go bigger, but we would look for a smaller footprint in a lot of ways, even though it's hard with three kids. We would look for a smaller footprint for our next RV because ultimately we do love flexibility in where we stay. We, campground talk. We look for the best campground in any area mm-hmm. that we're going. And if that campground is a remote public campground, we want to stay there.
There are places I know I want to camp that I can't get into with my current RV. And if we had the second RV, I'd say, hey, let's cozy up the five of us, go in this smaller rig, even if we're sharing beds or whatever, and let's go to that state park.
Yeah, even if the boys are kicking each other all night. Oh,
now, the last reason is that I have family and friends that are constantly asking to come with us or want to try the campground experience. I'm not going to rent it necessarily to a close friend or a family member, but I would let them use it. I would go set it up for them. Hey, come try this experience for free on me to some degree to try and bring them into the RV lifestyle. Because that's just the kind of guy that I am.
Yeah, that's how you are. You're giving.
So what do you think the chances are we end up with a second RV? And it's going to be in the next month. We have to decide.
That's a tricky question. I don't even know what answer to get. I honestly...
Is it 50-50?
I guess it must be because I can't give an answer to that. So it must be 50-50 at this point. Like, honestly, it must be 50-50.
I think there's about an 80% chance we end up with the second RV this spring. I think it's going to be hard to pass up the opportunity to rent to somebody for 3 months, get a decent price for it, have a down payment for something else. We just have to figure out what that camper would be. And that's the perfect segue into this interview with Mike Shepard from Taxa, because the Cricket is definitely like something that's an option for us for a rental. We both fell in love with these things.
Love it. If I had a cricket. Now, wait. Okay. So the title of the show is Meet the Crickets. All right. Now, here's what I want our listeners to do. Don't roll your eyes at me. I want our listeners to right now, close your eyes and think. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Think, what does that title reference? Stop, silence. Okay, now I'm going to tell you, and if any of you actually thought this when you heard the name Meet the Crickets, you can email Jeremy and tell him, okay? And
you give better him back a high me up five. On this.
He was punning on, go ahead, honey.
Meet the Beatles, which I think, and I should have double checked. I usually always do my research. I think that was their first American record. Okay. I don't think it was what their first English or British record was called. Meet the Beatles, Meet the Crickets.
Insects.
Stephanie wanted to call it Meet the Cricket.
Well,
and I'm like, you just need the S on there. And all of a sudden you have this allusion to the Beatles, for goodness sake.
So a music / insect.
Honey, you don't need to explain it to people now. It's obvious.
That anybody thought that when they heard it, but I want to hear from the person who did. If you got it, if you got Jeremy's joke.
Listen.
His Beatles joke.
Before we head into the interview with Mike Shepard from Taxa, and it's largely about the Cricket, I also love their Tiger Moth, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like an alternate version of a teardrop.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot better because you can sit in it, like on a couch. Why did you fall in love with the Cricket? Why did I fall in love with the Cricket? Why do we want one in our driveway for that second RV? I mean, and look, we're debating. We're not sure if it would be a Cricket, a teardrop, a smaller travel trailer. Why did you fall in love with this at the Florida RV Super Show?
The pros of a pop-up without the cons. I'm going to put it that simply. Like, for me, a super lightweight option, okay? When you open this thing up, it is 360 views, right? You feel screen.
You're in nature.
You feel airy, okay? 6'4" clearance standing up. So somebody can comfortably stand up. You don't feel like...
In the front part by the galley kitchen.
Yeah. You don't feel like tight. You don't feel closed in at all, okay? All of that, and it sets up in minutes. It really sets up in minutes.
No, it's nothing like a pop-up in the sense that it sets up in minutes.
Like,
I used to set up the pop-up. Pop-ups don't set up in minutes.
Yeah,
this is like this one little latch that you pop in. It is very quick setup.
Yeah.
And the top pops up. Mm-hmm. Right. You can also close that. Yeah. I don't. You know what? We're making a mistake. We're diving into the stuff from the interview.
We're not going to give any information.
So look, that might our second RV. It might be a Cricket.
But can I say too that this marries in this really sensitive way all of the benefits of an RV. It has the plug. Right. It has hookups.
It does have hookups in a sense. It has a. It has a little toilet.
Yeah.
Right,
a cassette toilet.
Thank you.
But it has a water tank,
and you can plug it into electricity.
It has a gray tank holder. It has an outdoor shower.
Right,
hot water. Okay, all of this stuff. So it has so many of those feelings.
It has an air conditioner.
Oh my gosh, you feel like you could be in the middle of nowhere.
And
with
look, the last thing I'll say is that it's rugged and it's so obviously well built. It looks like something that you could have in your family for 20 years.
Right. And that's what I'm going to say. Like the pop-ups you feel like have planned obsolescence.
This Mike Shepherd guy that you interviewed. Mm-hmm. What a cool guy. Once this guy starts talking to you, you better just carve out an hour of your day.
Yeah.
Because he's going to talk your ear off. And here's the thing. A lot of guys that do that, you're like thinking, when can I escape?
Yeah.
With him, you just want to keep talking to him because he's a great guy.
Yeah. I met Mike and his wife, Lisa, down at the Florida RV Super Show.
They almost adopted Stephanie.
They were a lovely couple. I cannot wait to see them again, and I know we will. They are doing an amazing project down south. We'll talk more about it in the future. We'll tell you all about it when it's kind of like come to fruition.
Well, frankly, I'd like to have Mike back on just to talk about that project he's doing in Boone, North Carolina.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah, let's just
we
do
will
that.
Have him on. Mike and Lisa were wonderful. They were just adorable to hang out with the whole time I was down there. I got so much information out of them about this Cricket. And honestly, I would have, if I hadn't taken a plane down there, I might have hitched one up and driven one back to New Jersey.
I found them like totes adorbs. Totes adorbs.
You're not that young. You can't use that.
Oh, I did. I used it ironically.
Do you
want to throw it to Mike Shepherd from TAXA about the Cricket?
Yeah. So thank you so much to Mike for spending the time to give me this interview. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy it.
And I'll say this now. If you have an opinion about whether we should get a second RV, send us an email.
Drop us a note
on Facebook.
Let's get a little poll going,
you know, on the forum. Are we crazy? Are we not crazy?
All right, here's
Mike Shepherd from TAXA.
Thank you, Stephanie. All I'm going to say, it's cool, wow, and cute camper. That's it.
All right. Well, hopefully we can go a little more in depth into this really cool thing. But first, tell everybody what you do.
What I do is I'm the East Region Sales and Marketing Director for TAXA. I am based out of Boone, North Carolina, which is where my home base is. I have everything east of the Rockies, about 42 states in Canada, a little small territory. We have a rep out west of the Rockies, out in California. The factory is located in Houston, Texas. Garrett Finney, who is our founder, worked quite a while as the architect engineer on the International Space Station. Garrett's idea back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, probably even longer than that, he was an avid outdoorsman, canoe, backpacker, hiker, fisherman, so on and so forth. He wanted to build a camper and not be your conventional RV, as he calls it, a box on wheels. He wanted to build something that was lightweight, that could be pulled with a small four-cylinder car, that could be easily towable, easily set up, and have the quality. So Garrett's background with NASA, as one of the architects and engineers on the International Space Station, the living habitat, he created his Cricket. So my position is, as I said in the beginning, is sales and marketing for the East Region. Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
So we have the Cricket that we're sitting in right now, but there's also the Firefly, right?
The Firefly was one of his visions that's not been released.
Okay,
we have the Trek. In the Cricket line, we have the Trek, the Camp, and the Gear.
All right, three different models that are available in the Cricket. What is the difference between those three?
The difference, we're sitting in the Trek, which is our top of the line. Okay, that unit is going to have all the bells and whistles. It's going to have all the accessories. The only accessory that's not listed in our brochure that comes with it would be the solar panel, the ZAMP solar system.
That's
solar
an
panel.
Option.
That's an option. Okay. Yes, ma'am. In the camp, what we've done with the camp, and I need to say this, the trek, the camp, and the gear all have the same footprint, all have the same exterior, all have the pop-up type tent structure. It's just we removed some of the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. In the camp, we don't include the refrigerator freezer. We do not include an extra battery. We do not include the front rock guards. We've taken out the front awning. We've taken out the shower cabana. Still the same footprint, but it's just a little less expensive. Last but not least, which is new for 2016, is our gear. Okay, the gear has everything removed from the front kitchen area back. Does not have any plumbing in it. Does not have any electrical in it. What it has, as we call it, is our Venture Athlete's Gear mm-hmm. Hauler. It's a unit that a lot of people will put their high-end mountain bike in. Will put their high-end kayak. When they get to the campsite, they have a way that they can put their Therm-a-Rest out, or they can put a little miniature cot out. It's what we call the less bell and whistle, but it's still a cricket.
It's like a toy hauler.
You got it. We've kind of coined
gear hauler. You got it. You know, we have RV listeners. They'll say, oh, a toy hauler, right?
Yeah, it's we call it the Adventure Athlete's Toy Hauler.
Right, okay. Right. And it does look like it's ready for some adventure.
It does. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love all three of them, but the simplicity of it's really nice, and the price.
Okay, so for all three models then, just for clarity's mm-hmm. sake, we are talking about the same footprint, but weight is going to be lighter as you go down probably, right? And
correct.
The options are going to be less.
Correct.
Okay.
Right now, the one we're sitting in is our Trek. You know, we say it weighs at 1,500 pounds. It may be 1,497.5, mm-hmm. but let's call that 1,500. Now, that's dry weight, so you can add more gear to that, obviously. The camp, you're probably going to come in at around 1,400, and then the gear, we're estimating at about 1,350.
Right. Okay. So we know we're talking about a smaller trailer. We know we're talking about something that seems a bit like a pop-up because I'm in a harder shell bottom, and I have this, you know, fabric, canvas-like mm-hmm. top. So tell our listeners, what is the difference? Why is this not your typical pop-up camper?
Okay. First of all, a pop-up camper, I do not know the exact ratio, but you're probably looking at about 60% of that camper is canvas. Mm-hmm. There are national parks now that will not allow a pop-up to go into because of this thing called the bears. With our product, we're right at 85% hard surface, 15% soft surface. The difference is, in a pop-up, I don't know, I'm sure it takes probably more than 30 seconds to get it ready to go. With our unit, I can pull into a campsite and in a matter of literally 45 seconds have my top popped, have my door open, and I can either be cooking, I can either be reading a book, or I could even be sleeping. Now, with that said, by leaving the top down, even in inclement weather, I personally, and I'm 6'2 and weigh 230 pounds, I can sit in my cricket with the top fully down. That makes it a complete hard surface camper, and I can prepare something for my refrigerator freezer. I can prepare a sandwich. I can prepare my bedding to lay down. I can pretty much live in it and never raise the top.
Right. I do want to say that you did that yesterday when you were showing me this for the first time. You brought down the top while we were both inside, and I was perfectly comfortable. I didn't go, let me out of here.
Yeah. You're bringing the roof down on me. Yeah. And that's something, you know, showing people, because when the cricket is in its full upright position, it's awesome. I mean, you've got this unique space age, ultra lightweight mm-hmm. micro camper, and then people look at it and they go, okay, how long is it going to take you to get the top down? And in a matter of, what, 10 seconds, mm-hmm. it's down. Yes, ma'am.
Right. Okay, so now, what features are available here inside of it? So we know that this is lightweight, but that doesn't mean that you don't have, like you said, a refrigerator and stuff like that. So, and we have electric, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. What we have, if we start with probably the two most important necessities to most human beings, a toilet mm-hmm. and lights. Okay, we have a porta potty, which is more than adequate to accommodate the cricket. The lights, what we have is we have a 12-volt 110 system. Now, what does that mean? That basically means we have three options here for our light source. Our battery system here, we can stay off-grid on a full charge, minimum 7 days, maximum 10 days. We can run our full electric lights. We can run our water pump that pumps into our 2.5-gallon 12-volt German hot water tank, so we can take a hot shower outside. We can also run our 12-volt 110 refrigerator freezer. So we can stay off-grid for approximately 7 to 10 days. Now, if we have a power source like shore power, we can plug into a 30-amp service. That will keep our batteries charged through our converter-inverter. Some people call it converter, some people call it inverter. I just call it both. I call it the brains of our electric system. We can change that 110 into 12-volt. 12-volt then can be we charge it through that 110. So we can stay off-grid as long as we have that power source. Thirdly, by just hooking up the ZAMP solar system and plug into the side of the trailer, as long as Mother Nature gives us sunshine, we can regenerate, rejuvenate those batteries to where we really can stay off grid for a lifetime.
That's amazing. Yep. Now, the sink, mm-hmm. we've got water, mm-hmm. okay, and you said we have an outdoor shower, right?
Yes. What we have is, in this unit, we have a 12-gallon potable water tank, self-contained, which also we have a 12-gallon gray water. In the front of the Cricket, we have a kitchen area, prep area, with a fold-away sink that you'll be able to run your hot water through, you'll be able to run your cold water through, and all of that gray water is being captured in your tank. So, yes, we do have full capacity water to clean dishes, to brush your teeth, and so on and so forth.
I think that that's what really surprised me when I first started to talk to you about this. When I saw it, I really expected this to be a dry camping, like just I would say an enclosed tent. I thought, oh, okay, look at this. They're making something for the outdoor adventure, like you said. It's just going to be a more comfortable tent. But really, it does have the hookups in a way and the solar capability to give you that feel of having the refrigerator, the sink, the toilet, all that stuff. But you can take this anywhere.
Yes, ma'am. You can, as a rep, I travel, obviously, 42 plus states. And if I'm on the road 20 out of 30 days, I'll stay in my unit at least half those days. And I can pull into a campground. I can pull into a state park. I don't want to say I can pull into a Walmart, but I do. And I can stay off grid and live comfortably with my lights. I can make my notes with my sink. I can brush my teeth if I want to. Now, not in a Walmart parking lot. Right. I can take a shower. And I've got the refrigerator freezer to carry all my food. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Now, obviously, we were joking at the beginning about people saying, wow, and cool and cute when they walked up. But that points out a very important point here. This looks different and is different than the other products that are out there right now. So who is this selling to? Who wants a Cricket?
Wow, this demographic, it's pretty awesome. I mean, everybody has statistics and says, well, this is your demographic. This is who's going to buy this unit. Boy, have I had the rug pulled out from underneath me. You know, you look at this and you think, okay, this is your kayaker, your fly fisherman, your backpacker, your rock climber, your outdoor photographer. I mean, your adventure so-called athlete, the ones that shop at the adventure stores that mm-hmm. buy the high-end equipment. Very true, the Subaru owners, the Toyota, you know, Land Cruisers. Because this unit, like we said in the beginning, weighs 1,500 pounds. You can pull it with about anything. Well, in the last couple weeks at some of these RV shows, we have had couples in their early 50s, professionals, that come up and go, oh my gosh, this is what we're looking for. We don't want the conventional box on wheels. We don't want the microwave. We don't want the television. We don't want the jacuzzi. You know, we don't want to take a shower inside. We want something that we can go tour the country in. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, but we want it to be quality.
Right.
And not jumping ahead here, but anybody that sees a Cricket for the first time, I don't care if they're an engineer, I don't care if they're a school teacher, I don't care if they're a mom, I don't care if they're a 16-year-old kid that's in high school that's going to be the star quarterback. They always go, oh my gosh, wow. And again, there we are with that, wow. These are made. These look like an aircraft. They look like a plane. The quality is what speaks for itself, but yes.
Yeah, and they have a lot of versatility too, because right now I'm sitting on sort of the couch area, the little dinette with the dinette table that's going to go down to help me form my queen bed, right? It's cream.
Correct.
Now, above my head, suspended in air by carabiners, is a bunk.
It is. We call that our kids' bunk. We also call it our gear storage.
Yes, yes.
You know, people that buy these are always going to have excessive stuff sacks. They're going to have...
We call it packing cubes. A lot of our listeners use packing cubes to stay organized in a small space.
And with this unit, with either one, with all three, even the gear, you can add an overhead bunk so you can actually sleep two children or lightweight adults that weigh 130 pounds. That's what we rate it at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 220 plus pounds.
Have you tried it out?
I have. I'm 6'2". I'm about 10 and a half inches too tall. But, yeah, we put the 130 on it because we have to.
All right.
But and
I'm
the
not going to test it out.
And the kids, what's so funny, Stephanie, the kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they're up. It's kind of like a treehouse.
Right.
So, but yes, it will accommodate two adults and two children. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, that we've got bunk options. Now, tell us a little bit about more about the solar panel options.
Okay. What we have is, because, again, the type of people that we're catering to, the people want to get off track. They want to get off-road. Now, this is not something that you're going to want to pull down, a mountain where there's, 4-foot ruts. But they want to go up a fire trail. They want to get to the trailhead. They want to get to where, the trail ends. And with the solar panel and the ZAMP system, because of the technology that we've put into it, and I hate using this word, but an idiot can do it. I can do it. And I don't even know what LOL or OMG means on my cell phone.
Hey, coming from somebody that wrote an idiot's guide, I love that word. Are you kidding?
and so I can literally take this out of the suitcase, which is two zippers. I'm good at that. And fold it open and literally have my solar panel set up in a matter of 30 seconds. I plug it into the Cricket, I plug it into the camp. Now the gear has no power, so you can't use it there. And I'm basically recharging that battery system to run all of my electrical in my trailer.
So much of what we talk about in terms of the RV lifestyle is about getting out there, having amazing experiences and adventures in life, right?
Correct.
Being able to travel on your own terms. And this just seems like such a fun and fabulous way to be able to do it. So I can't wait to see more from this company. I can't wait to hear from our listeners who buy a Cricket and who get to experience what it's like to travel in one. This is just a really exciting new product, and thank you so much for spending time with me talking about it,
Mike. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks to every single one of you for listening, and thank you so much to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, check them out at campjellystone.com. And we forgot one big announcement in the news roundup.
Yeah, but we'll talk more about our darling Maggie. Our
we
newest.
Got the sweetest dog in the world living in this house.
I know, we got a dog!
We got a dog last Friday. I can't believe it. After years of talking about it, we got a dog. And she just fit into this house perfectly on day one. And we all love and adore her. Wesley walks around saying, She's so cute. And you know what? To all of our podcast listeners, you're so cute too.
Oh, everybody's cute.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Join us on the forum.